More than 300,000 pieces of space junk are currently orbiting Earth. And all those spent rocket stages, satellite fragments, and astronaut trash are starting to create major challenges for current and future space exploration. The risks posed by all that floating detritus has also led to advocacy for space environmentalism. Concurrently, there's a bill in Congress which would turn the Apollo landing sites into a national park. Joining us now is Wired science writer Adam Mann, author of an article called Space, the Final Frontier of Environmental Disasters. That's with a question mark. We have a link to it on our show page. I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Mann to our show today. Hello.
Hey there, Leonard. Happy to be here.
You write, space junk is a classic example of the tragedy of the commons. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think the tragedy of the commons is a fairly well-known economic phenomenon where you have too many people using a common good. For instance, you have a common good like a field, and you have a bunch of shepherds who want to use that field. If they all sort of just let their sheep go wild, then the field gets destroyed entirely, and then basically nobody can use it.
And space has become increasingly privatized in recent years with companies like SpaceX and Virgin Galactic. Is that further complicating the situation? Are we just going to be creating even more space junk?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the case of space junk in particular, and in talking about the tragedy of the commons, a lot of the problem has been the fact that nobody was really paying attention to this for a long time. Space was sort of this big, open, wide range, and people figured, well, we can keep filling it up with whatever we want. So there were things like anti-satellite tests in the 60s, where both the Russians and the U.S. blew up things in space, specifically creating all of these fragments that are still there, many of them. And as we put more and more things into space, it becomes increasingly crowded, and basically the risk of another collision ticks up.
Well, isn't it supposed to burn up as it enters the atmosphere and falls to Earth?
Yeah, certain things definitely do burn up, and there's a certain time rate at which they do. And I think this was always thought of as sort of a natural cleaning mechanism. Unfortunately, there's actually so much junk out there right now that it doesn't matter how quickly it goes down, it will continue to increase, basically.
Is there a saturation point where there'll be too much trash in space to launch a rocket safely?
Yes, theoretically, there is a point called the Kessler point, or it's sort of called the Kessler syndrome, after this NASA scientist, Donald Kessler, who basically, you know, did some mathematical models in the 70s and showed, okay, well, once we reach this number of space junk, then the odds of a collision get to this point, and so any collision just creates more space junk, and it's this sort of cascading effect. When exactly we will reach that point, I think nobody knows. Some people sort of have speculated maybe we've sort of passed it, actually. Currently, we can still launch rockets, but at some point, yeah, it would basically be this field of trash.
Are the dangers more evident in space? What about things like when Skylab fell to Earth?
I think for the most part, when things crash back down, I think that's something that maybe we all somewhat fear, or it's the biggest, most visceral worry. The odds of anything hitting anybody are very small. When you say that there's 300,000 pieces up there in space, most of these are about a centimeter in size. And anything like that, or even significantly bigger, is going to burn up in the atmosphere. And even when you hit the ground, 70% of our world is water, and most of the land is also not necessarily inhabited by people. So the odds are pretty low of getting hit.
When you say that most of it is just a centimeter in size, what are we talking about? Flecks of paint?
That is one, and there's actually some pretty good pictures that you can see online of the space shuttle window hit by a fleck of paint, and it looks like somebody took a hammer to it, actually. So these things are traveling pretty fast, so even a one-centimeter-sized object is dangerous. But a lot of these things are, nuts and bolts, screws, things that got left behind when astronauts were working outside. Probably the funniest one would be frozen crystals of pee that were ejected.
So when people urinate in space, it doesn't go away.
I'm not I would have to check with you on the status of what NASA does right now and on the ISS. I think right now they actually bring everything back down, all of the waste, but in the Apollo days they didn't do that. So,
well, how much of a danger does that pose to a satellite or the International Space Station?
Well, the International Space Station in particular actually gets moved several times a year to avoid space junk. You know, they track it and they see how big it is and where it's going to be, and so they have to sort of do this maneuver where they'll move the space station up a little bit higher or a little bit lower. People have proposed actually putting sort of a big, like, shield in front of the space station, maybe some sort of inflatable thing that you could put in front of it and it would deflect all sorts of space junk. Satellites do crash. There was actually, the big one that a lot of people know about is the 2009 crash between some defunct Soviet satellite and a U.S. comm satellite. But I think just a couple months ago, the first satellite that Ecuador ever launched actually crashed into a defunct satellite and is now gone.
I'm talking with Adam Mann. His article, Space, the Final Frontier of Environmental Disasters, is in the current issue of Wired?
Just on our website.
This is WMYC, WMYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Who are the main proponents of space environmentalism?
The people who are thinking about it actively, I think, are a fairly small group of people, most of whom I interviewed for the article. Mark Williamson, in particular, is the guy who, in 2006, wrote a book called Space, the Fragile Frontier, that sort of addressed a lot of these issues and talking specifically about space junk and whatever else we can do. But the idea does have, I think, just from a lot of people who I've talked to, has a pretty wide, there's a lot of people who would advocate for it, even within private companies, private space companies, because they do understand that these things would affect them one day.
Are there proposals to clean up all the trash floating around in low Earth orbit?
Oh, there's probably a million proposals. They're pretty tricky to get implemented. One, they would be expensive, and right now neither NASA nor any space agency really has a good deal of money. And then legally, there's some weird issues. Basically, anything that any particular entity launches into space, they retain ownership of that forever. So if the Soviet Union launched a satellite in the 1970s and now it's 100 fragments floating around, every single one of those fragments is still owned by not the Soviet Union, because it doesn't exist anymore, but by Russia.
Well, if they were all gathered together, couldn't we just, once we brought them back to Earth, sort them out? Oh, this looks like a Soviet bolt. Oh, this one obviously is from the United States. What are some of the more feasible solutions, and what are your favorites? Could we send up a giant net?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. The problem in terms of just gathering everything out and sorting it out later is I think you have to get explicit permission even beforehand to touch or move anything in space that somebody else owns. But probably, one of the more possible solutions, at least, would not require expensive launches, is using sort of this thing called like a laser broom, in which you would shoot tiny directed laser beams at some of the space junk, and it would cause its velocity to change in the right way that would bring it back in and cause it to deorbit and burn up in the atmosphere faster.
As I mentioned earlier, the Apollo Lunar Landing Legacy Act was introduced into Congress earlier this month. What would that bill do?
That would turn all of the Apollo landing sites, 11 through 17, minus Apollo 13, which didn't land on the moon, into national parks under the jurisdiction of the United States. And within a year, the act would make it so that the U.S. would have to petition the UNESCO to make them World Heritage Sites.
Is there, there's very little chance that that's going to pass.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's a very well-meaning act. It does conflict pretty strongly with international law, treaties that the United States signed, including the Outer Space Treaty, which says that we will not declare any part of the moon or space part of our jurisdiction. And in order to sort of claim the Apollo sites, that would be a de facto claim of the land, which is basically not allowed.
And then there are people who propose mining the moon. That would be impossible under current international law?
Well, there's a good debate and about that. If you talk to space lawyers, which are actually a thing, they will sort of give you different answers. The consensus that I get from them is that there are ways in which it would be legal. Basically, you would not be able to own the land that you would be mining, but you would be able to retain the right to collect and sell for profit anything from the moon.
I think many people would be freaked out if they looked at the moon through a telescope and saw a strip mine.
Right. I mean, that was actually the impetus for this article was I was talking with Moon Express, which is one of the companies who one day hopes to mine the moon, and their CEO was saying, well, isn't this great, and we can bring the resources of the universe back to Earth. And I sort of asked him, you know, do you think that anybody would have a problem with it? And it didn't seem like something he had thought all that much about. We had a small conversation about it, but after that, I sort of thought, okay, well, does anybody have a problem with this? And I looked into it, and I found these people who might be advocating for more environmentalist ideas.
You mentioned that the space junk is owned by a lot of different countries. How many are we talking about? Ecuador, more recently, China, Russia, the United States, Japan. Who else has space junk up there?
I'd have to check exactly, but I think anybody who's launched anything into space, which would be many European countries, Israel, like you said, India, China, Indonesia has launched satellites, Japan, a really good number of countries.
And you think the least they could do is clean up after they made that mess.
Yeah. I mean, I think really the best idea would be to sort of get ahead of the problem and from now on make sure that anything that goes up, there is a specific plan to bring it back down. Because I think I read a statistic that even if they could clean up 90% of the space junk that's out there right now, the amount would continue to grow.
Adam Mann's article, Space, the Final Frontier of Environmental Disasters. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.